Macy's fell Saturday night, and so I was down for a couple of days. And I was thankful for Charles was ready, and I called him Sunday morning, so I do appreciate him filling in for me during my surgery and my other little sickness there. But it's good to be back. We're going to be in the fifth chapter of Revelations tonight. We're going to start the fifth chapter. We'll do just a little bit of review here. In chapter 1, we were introduced to the victorious Christ. Christ is going to be as the Redeemer. And remember how he was among the midst of the lampstands, which representing the churches, the seven churches of Asia. There were seven lampstands. In chapter 2 and 3, talks about the virtues and the faults of the churches in, and giving them Christ could, talking about being in the midst of them, he could see what's going on in the churches. He knew what they were doing, what's in their hearts, and he was telling them that he did know these things, just as well he knows today what goes on here at Southside. Then in chapter 4, which y'all just finished with that, we see God's throne scene. Now, you have to remember at this period of time when he's writing this letter, John, this revelation, the church, the people, the Christians were having a hard time. They were having a hard time from the government, the Roman governments. Remember, you had about Caesars that were in power. Some of them were enforcing that they wanted to be worshipped. And also, you had problems with the Jews and in certain sects there. You have, if you were in a craft or something like that, you had to do it, and you just said you couldn't do those things. And you just, it was hard for them to make a living. So they were going through difficult times, very difficult times. And looking at chapter 4 to me, when you talk about God's throne here, and you give it, really it doesn't talk much about the one sitting on the throne, if you remember it that way, but it gives a scene of the throne and the four living creatures around it, and then you also had the 24 elders around that way, representing the redeemed, those that have been, are victorious. And that's in the way it strives all the jewelry and the it's just a magnificent scene. To me, it does. And so if, as the Christians are reading this letter, or it's being read to them, you know, a lot that they don't, everybody had a copy of it, but it'd be read in the churches, and they're listening to this, you know it had to give them some encouragement. And that's one of the parts here that you're going to see in Revelation. As we talk about today in the fifth chapter, when we talk about the throne, and I'll tell you here, so you know, it's going to tell about the revelation of the things that are going to be coming about. It's going to tell about the destiny of the church and also the enemies, too. But also in the fifth chapter, it's going to be talked about the wordless of the Lamb, or Christ. So we had God's throne scene and his exaltation in the fourth chapter. Now in the fifth chapter, we're going to look at the wordiness of Christ. And that plays a pretty good part for us. But you always have to remember, even though God's up in heaven, the earth is his footstool, this earth is still being controlled by the throne room where God is. It may not, people later say, well, how can God be in control? All the misery, and what you look at news and everything, say, well, how can God be in control? God's in control. Don't you ever, ever doubt that in a minute. Now, does that mean your life is going to be rosy, pleasant? As we talk about, these Christians are going through a hard time, and we may be going through some hard times the way our country's going. As the Roman government was against the church and the Christians, it seemed like ours, it became more and more against us. And so we may not have as much, well, we may have more tribulation than what we've had in the past. And so that's one thing. good thing about going through Revelations here. Doug? Of Revelation, especially when we start here in the fifth chapter, we're going to see the scroll. Well, then you're going to see, starting the sixth chapter, what's being revealed in that scroll. And basically, God's telling you what's going to happen. If God's not in control, then how can He tell you what's going to happen? All right? Now, God is good, Satan is evil. Satan is in this world, and there is evil and there's sin in this world. And he's telling them, yes, you're in a hard time now, but it's going to get worse than that. You're going to have some, you may lose your life. Let me just tell you, he's telling them, you may die. But people, you have to remember the reward for being a faithful servant. And that's why he's trying to paint the picture here. When we discuss, Larry and I discussed these topic of heaven's lesson period there. There were several Revelation parts that I just left out because I knew we were going to get into Revelation. But you're going to see a lot of glimpses of heaven and some things about it that we just really didn't discuss about, but because I was saving for this. Well, I don't know about you in the fourth chapter, but the fourth chapter, to me, seeing where God's throne is. Now, does God literally sit on a throne? I don't know. But the picture is, what do you think about somebody sitting on a throne? You think of authority, king. Well, now, you can imagine the thrones you've seen here on earth. And if you've been visit some countries and see some things like that, you can see how they live. Well, my picture of me, when I always think about it, I just always, of course, Daniel's one of my favorite books. I think about Nebuchadnezzar. And here, Nebuchadnezzar, actually, to me, in his kingdom, he was the most powerful man upon earth. He was a king, and he had all this power and control. But let me tell you, it doesn't even touch the hem of the garment of what the throne scene is in heaven. And it's magnificent. And you just look at that and says, this is my one I'm serving. I'm not serving Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not serving Caesar. I'm serving the Almighty God. And that's why he's painting the picture. If you serve me, you're going to be out there in front of me. You're talking about those 24-hour representing. There you are. Right in front, in the presence of God. In that throne scene. And how magnificent that can be. I know you think you've had the good times up here on this earth, and you've been places that are very enjoyable, and you look at things, but it's not even going to compare to what heaven's going to be like. And that's why he's trying to tell them right now that, you know, you're hard now, but it's going to get tough. It's going to get really tough. But you keep this in mind as you go through this life, that if you stay faithful to me, if you're my servant and you're willing to give your life up for me, you will have eternal bliss. And we're talking about milkshakes or hot dogs and all this. forever and ever and ever. And you just think about it. Your aches and pains. I know there's probably some out there that actually worked today. I didn't. But you're tired. You're not going to have that. You're not going to be stricken by time. It's just going to be that great. Any other questions or comments? All right. Let's get into the first three verses here. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loosen its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. All right, now, here's a representation. This is a scroll. Now, this is just as a figure here like that of a scroll with seven seals on it, okay? Now, looking at scroll, what do you think? Do you think anything?
Double.
What?
Talking
about Freddie? No. It's old. Okay. What else?
Nothing could be added to it.
Do what?
Nothing could be added to it because it's already sealed.
Right. And how is it sealed?
With wax seals that have to be broken. So
seven.
Seals.
What's that number seven?
Completely.
It is completely sealed. Look at it. You can just barely turn up the edge of that, something like that. You're not going to look into it. It is a secure document. It's a scroll that's been bound up, sealed up. Seven seals. Okay. Now, seven seals also can give you recognition of that. This is pretty important, isn't it? You don't normally see seven seals. You see something with seven seals on it, you let me tell you, this isn't an important document that's got some important stuff in it, and it's just not anybody can have this seal, open this. Okay? And so this, keep that in mind as we're looking at the seven seals, the scroll. All right, as you said about it, it's written inside and on the back. That means it's full, it's complete. Nothing was to have been added to it. You can't add any more. It's written on the inside and the back. It's covered. So this document is complete. All right? Other thing, he says, I saw, okay? John is now in the new part or new section of vision. He says, when you see that, I saw. Well, you're starting a new segment of the vision. And he says, now I saw who? The right hand of him who sat on the throne. Okay? Now, what does right hand signify? Anything?
Power and knowledge.
Do what?
Power and knowledge.
Okay? Sitting, the scroll is in his right hand of the one sitting on the throne. So here's another thing. It's sealed with seven seals. It's, you know, if it's in the hand of the one sitting on the throne, it is an important document. And it's his document. His scroll. He has it. And he has it completely full. All right? Sealed with seven seals. It was to safeguard the material from being tampered with or exposed to view, to assure it reaching the proper destination intact. See, if you've got seven seals on her and two or three of them are broken off, you know, something's wrong. But this is sealed with seven seals. It's there for a reason. That's seven seals. And so it's there for its protection here. All right. Now, anointed by this strong angel proclaimed with a loud voice. Well, the strong angel and the loud voice are actually goes together, I think. Whether he's a big, strong angel, I don't particularly think about it. I just want to say that this one, angel, has a voice that resonates, that is a loud. He's a strong because he has a loud voice. Now, if you think of a loud voice, who do you think of? Charles. Right? If you want to be something proclaimed in here, who are you going to give it to? Charles. Because you know everybody's going to be able to hear it. So that's what it's talking about. This angel, you've heard talking about the voice of a trumpet. Well, this is what it is. It's a loud voice so that everybody can hear is what it is. And he's saying, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loosen its seal? That's what he's proclaiming this. Here's this scroll in the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And now I want to say, look, now, who is able to take this scroll? That's what he's proclaiming. Now, he's saying that. Who is worthy? One that says of this character that is able to take this. Now, to loosen it means, okay, you're going to be able to break it up. While you're talking about loosen it, you're going to be able to break the seal. First of all, if you break the seal, that means that the document can be opened up. Well, to open a document actually means to look thereon. That means you're able to comprehend, disclose, or be able to execute what's in this, what this document is. This scroll. So what he's saying is now, who of us are here? He's proclaiming this to everybody. He said, who is worthy to open this seal, to look inside this seal, to reveal this document front and back, and able to do it, what it says. And this is from God himself. So the angel is proclaiming this. All right. Now, he comes back down in verse 3. No one. You think about it. The living creatures, the elders, angels of heaven, all the great men upon this earth, those that are under the earth or those that are the spirits in the Hadean world. He says, no one of these can open that scroll. Can you imagine that? You had these four living creatures around God. Supposedly they're cherubims. Protecting God. Doing it at his will, at his command. Got those eyes, can see every place. And they're right next to the throne. Can't do it. You have the 24 elders out there. These are the ones that are victorious. Can't do it. You got angels there. Can't do it. Down this earth, mighty men. Can't do it. Those that have died. Can't do it. Now, see why happened to verse 4? John said, I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. Here this angel proclaimed this. Who is worthy to do it? And he's looking up into heaven and seeing all these creatures and elders and angels and things, and no one can do it. Rose? That's one of the things when they're talking about if you hear anything, even something proclaimed from an angel, anything else, not worthy. Okay? I don't care how you put it up. There's not one angel that can do it. And you know, you've got different categories of angels there too. And they couldn't do it. And so, you know, John was looking at this and says, you know, he had to be pretty distressed about it. He had been told that he would be told what would happen, would take place shortly. But he finds out that nobody's going to be able to tell him. He knows that that scroll is important because it's in the right hand of God and it's got seven seals. It's an important document. It's hard for me to use my right hand. I'm left-handed. But it's right hand. God, no one could pick up. And so John said, I wept, and I wept much. That really distressed me that this came about, that there's nobody that's going to be able to do it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David hath prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Look here. And that wasn't an angel that told him. But one of the redeemed, one that has been redeemed by who? Sacrifice. He comes and tells John, look here, do not weep. Okay, John? I see your distress at this. And I can understand your distraction. But let me just tell you, John, you don't have to weep. There is one that has been found worthy to open this book. And he tells him, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. All right, let's look at these. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49, 9. If you get that, turn to there. I was going to put it down, but I didn't. I didn't. So, if you would, turn to Genesis, the 49th chapter, and look at verses 9 and 10. I'm going to look at this for a second. He says in verse 9 of the 49th chapter of Genesis, Judah as a lion's whelp, from the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who shall rouse him. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. This is when Jacob is blessing his children. And he gets to Judah. And he talked to him as the lion. And here he says now, Christ, came from the tribe of Judah. So he says now, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Here's your one clue. Also, the Root of David. Okay. Well, in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, Christ is talking to the Pharisees. And he asked them and says, what about Christ? What about this Christ here? And they said, well, he's the son of David. And then he says to them, if David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And they couldn't answer him. But he was of the lineage of David. Judah and David. Physically, flesh-wise, he was of the tribe of Judah and the descendant of David. But he was the Christ. He was the Root of David. He was before David. And that's the reason David called him Lord, my Lord. And so here's the thing this fellow elder now is telling John. There is one worthy. He's the Lion in the tribe of Judah, and he's the Root of David. He has prevailed to open the scroll and to have loosed it 7 seals. All right. One can do it. And I look, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the 4 living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Look at the point. In the midst, it says, and I looked. John says, and I look in it, and behold, in the midst of the throne. I mean, right there with God. He is expecting to see a lion, but he doesn't see a lion. He sees a lamb. A lamb that's been slain. But what about this lamb that is standing? It is standing and it's alive. He says, they were told him, the elder says, here's a lion. He said, look. That's why he thought, probably thought in mind that I'm going to see a lion. But he looks and sees him, behold, in the midst of the throne and in with the 4 living creatures and also the elders. That's right there by God. There he is. There's this lamb. And he can tell this lamb has been slain. But it's alive. It's standing. And also about this lamb, he's got 7 horns. Well, back then, when you talk about that, and horns always usually mean power or authority. Well, this one does. Matthew 28:18. All authority, power, have been given unto me in heaven and on earth. This lamb, this slain lamb, 7 horns, saying, I have the power and the authority. What else? Well, it's talked about the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Well, we've already talked about the 7 spirits of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And before Jesus ascended to the heaven, after he died, he told the apostles and things that he would send them a comforter, the Spirit, that would give them and reveal to them, be only a witness to him, but also reveal to him all knowledge and think about it. And now you can think about this through God's word, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit. The gospel about Jesus has been sent forth to the whole world. So it has been sent into all the earth. This lamb now is saying that Pharaoh is telling him that, look, here in this vision, now, you think about it. You expect to see a lion, which was back then the king of the beast. But no, it's a lamb. But there's something special about this lamb. This lamb has the authority and the power on heaven and in earth, and he's known throughout the earth by the 7 spirits or by the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. The lamb, having overcome and thus proved himself worthy. Now, you think about everybody else in heaven and on earth, one has the authority to take that scroll and look at it, open it up, and going to be able to do it. Any questions so far upon what we've done so far or talked about? Anybody? Go ahead, Rose.
Well, I just really like that you mentioned the slain, the lamb as though slain. Because I really like the image of the lamb as though it was slain. It makes no sense that lamb should be dead.
this lamb has been sacrificed. That's the reason that Jesus is worthy. Now, yes, he's a lion of Judah thing, but when he looked at and see in the midst of it and saw that lamb that had been slain, and the people understand this lamb has been sacrificed. Well, what has been sacrificed for? You. Been sacrificed for the whole world. But now, he's been sacrificed. But you happen to listen to me. You have to obey me. I have all authority. What he's telling me. God is showing him in this vision here who has the authority now. He did it in chapter 4, showing you that he's God Almighty on the throne. Now he's telling us, look, I have a son here that has offered his life for you. Now he has all authority in heaven and on the earth. There is no one besides him if you want to go to heaven. Because he's going to lay it out. It wasn't for him, we would not know how to get to heaven. Because he's going to execute God's plan. Well, I think you bring a good point because what does the Spirit reveal? Where did he get it from? What he give has come from God.
I think the key there is the word revelation.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
He reveals it. Okay, so it's kind of like, you know, when Paul said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I mean,
yeah. And I think you hit a good point, too. Yes, it's not going to be a good picture, like you said, but you can get through it. You're not by yourself. And I think this way, one of the points here, too, is to emphasize his son, you know, basically what he's done, but your son here is giving you the avenue for redemption. He is worthy. He's a lamb, and he's offered himself. Now, he offered himself. You may have to offer yourself, but the reward is there. And you just think about it. Every time we begin, it's a little bit more, a little glimpse of heaven. It's a grand picture, beautiful picture. We'll start with verse 8 Sunday morning. Thank you.